Greetings and welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
Today we want to conclude our study of the opening verse of Paul's prayer to the Colossians in Colossians 1:9. Paul was a man of prayer. Paul prayed for the people that he ministered to. Paul prayed for people that he had never ministered to directly, which is certainly the case in the church at Colossae that he's writing this epistle to, but he had never been to the city of Colossae. Paul, according to the information we have in his epistles, prayed for an enormous number of people. He carried a great prayer burden. He had a long prayer list. You say, how do you know he had a list? Well, I'm not saying that it was written down. It may have been, it may not have been. But there were obviously a lot of items, a lot of needs, a lot of people who claimed Paul's attention and energies in prayer. And Paul tells us about that. We wouldn't know it otherwise, but he tells us about that. And we realize, therefore, that he was a man of prayer. But more than anything else, we realize how important prayer is. If a man, like Paul, engaged in gospel work, in evangelism, in spreading the gospel across the Roman Empire, with a passion to take the gospel to as many people as he possibly could, if a man like that took time out of his busy schedule to pray, and not to just pray a little bit, but to pray a long time, evidently. He doesn't ever tell us how long he spent in prayer each day, but just to be able to pray for all of the people and needs that he lists in his epistles would have to have taken a pretty long time. And for a man like Paul to devote that kind of significance, that kind of attention to prayer, tells us how important prayer is. And the truth is, I think we all know that, but I don't know that we all act upon that. I think all Christians agree that prayer is important, and all Christians agree that they ought to pray more, but many Christians never really act upon those sentiments, act upon that understanding to ever really give prayer the priority in their life that they ought to give it. How much time should a Christian devote to prayer each day? The Bible doesn't tell us. I can't tell you. If you don't pray so many minutes a day, then you're not honoring the Lord. I can't tell you that. That would be wrong to say something like that. The Bible doesn't indicate that. I remember years ago seeing a questionnaire that a particular Christian organization gave to people to get information about them, and one of the questions was, how much time do you spend each day in prayer? Interesting question. I'm not sure what the organization intended to do with the answer, but I'm sure it caused a lot of people to think about their prayer or lack of it when they had to put that down on paper, and I suspect that it caused a number of people to be dishonest in their answers. I hope not, but I wonder if that's not the case. If somebody passed out a form in your church, and the question on there was, write down your name and tell us how much time on average you spend daily in prayer, what would you do? What would that reveal? Would that a lot of good searching questions there, and I'll just leave it at that, and we'll go on. But we are talking about the priority of prayer. Well, I need to pause. It's Monday, November 2. Thank you for joining us for the Beacon broadcast, and many thanks for those whose financial gifts support this radio ministry. Here's the verse in question, Colossians 1:9. For this reason also, since the day we heard of it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. We are talking most lately about Paul's petitions in prayer, what it is he asked God for when he prayed. And in this particular case, he says, to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. We've already discussed in some detail what Paul meant by that phrase, the knowledge of His will. What it was he was praying that the Colossians would increase in, the knowledge of God's will. But he goes on and adds something to it, which we could deal with as a separate prayer request or as a more extensive explanation of his one main request. But however you view it, he also prays that they will be filled with wisdom and spiritual understanding. Now, the first thing we might ask about that is, what is the difference between wisdom and spiritual understanding? What is the difference between wisdom and understanding? Drop the spiritual for a moment. What's the difference between wisdom and understanding? Well, the differences are not always ironclad. It's not one of these things that when I tell you what the difference is, that you are going to find it used clearly in that way in every case where you find these words used. But in general, wisdom has to do with an acquiring of information, and it is related to intelligence. Understanding is... Did I say wisdom or understanding? Understanding is information and intelligence. It's the acquiring of information, the acquiring of knowledge, the acquiring of facts, and has to do with your ability to do that, to acquire knowledge. To have understanding is to have enlarged knowledge. What is wisdom? Wisdom would be the ability to apply knowledge to practical, everyday situations, to take that knowledge, that understanding, and to apply it to the situation at hand. We all know people who have a great deal of understanding in the sense of they have information, they are intelligent, sometimes incredibly intelligent, and yet seem to have no ability to apply that information practically in a helpful way. We sometimes talk about absent-minded professors. That would be the idea here. Not exactly the same thing, but similar. A college professor who has an enormous amount of knowledge in his particular field, and yet doesn't seem to connect very well with everyday life. He's just filled with knowledge, information. He is intelligent. He has a higher than average IQ. He has a great intellect, but lacks the ability to apply that knowledge to everyday situations. The absent-minded professor who goes off with wearing mismatched shoes, and on and on and on it goes. The kind of jokes that we talk about, and sometimes, and many times, it really is a caricature rather than the truth. But the fact is, we've all known people like this. So well, most of us have. I certainly have, and I'm sure you have too. We've all known people like this. So it's not entirely a cartoon. It is really true that there are people like this. And then on the other hand, you know people that have a great deal of wisdom, even if they don't have a lot of formal education. It's hard to tell in some cases how much knowledge they have. But I'm thinking of people who really don't have a great deal of knowledge as far as educational knowledge is concerned, but they sure have a lot of what we call common sense or horse sense. What knowledge they have, they know how to apply it practically. They know how to give good, solid advice. Some of the best advice you'll ever get doesn't come from PhDs or other people with advanced degrees. Some of the best advice you'll ever get comes from people who haven't finished high school, but they have wisdom. Now, Paul is praying that the Colossians may have wisdom and understanding, but he applies another word to it, spiritual, to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. And that narrows down what he's talking about. He's not just talking about any information, any knowledge, or even any wisdom, because that word actually, most Greek scholars believe, applies to both words. The modifier, spiritual, applies to wisdom and understanding, that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual knowledge and spiritual understanding. I've got to go back to my verse now. To be filled with knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and spiritual understanding. There we've got it. The spiritual applies to both, and that can mean two things. It can mean knowledge, information, wisdom in the area of things spiritual, but that still doesn't completely make everything clear. But when we realize that what he's talking about is knowledge and wisdom that is granted by the Holy Spirit to God's children so that they know how to apply God's word to their lives wisely, now you understand what he's talking about. In short, what Paul is praying for is that they will have a Christian mind, that they'll have spiritual wisdom and spiritual understanding, that they'll have good understanding in the area of God and eternity and ultimate reality, but know how to take these truths and apply it to their lives now. We've all heard the phrase, somebody is so heavenly-minded, they're no earthly good. Well, people who are truly heavenly-minded are actually of the greatest earthly good, but it's when they have spiritual, they're heavenly-minded in their focus of an understanding of things spiritual and eternal, but they also have spiritual wisdom to be able to apply those things to the here and now. And I say, in short, this is a Christian mind, the ability to filter every opinion and decision through a framework of divine truth. That's what this is talking about. That's what Paul is praying for the Colossian church. That's what I pray for myself. And every believer ought to pray for yourself. To have the kind of mind that contains sufficient understanding of spiritual truth to be able to filter every statement, every opinion, every decision through the gridwork of divine truth, of God's word, and therefore know how to apply God's truth to your life every day. That's important. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.